At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
You're listening to a Countout podcast.
And welcome to another episode of Your Dose of Death with yours truly, Lauren Rosemary. As always, thank you guys each and every single week for listening to this podcast. It is helping the growth of this podcast immensely. So thank you again for listening. And before we get into today's guests, I just, as always, got to give a big shout out to my sponsors. Grateful Deathmatch Skip Van Alstine is coming up with the dopey goods that is psychedelic and groovy and violent. Of course, if you hit them up with the promo code DEATH, free shipping across the United States and beyond. And then, of course, Billy Ballantyne and the good guys at Crimson Mask gave me that promo code of Your Dose of Death for the Duke of Hardcore bundle. Shout out to John Wayne Murdoch, as always. And, of course, got to give a big shout out to the guys at Toy-Hio. Toy-Hio returns June 19th, located at the Metroplex in Girard, Ohio. Over 20,000 square feet of toys and bringing in the best vendors from the tri-state area. Matt Cardona, Brian Myers, Smart Mark Sterling, and Dylan Hornswoggle Postle will all be signing that day. The show itself runs 10 to 4 on June 19th itself. Easily located right off the highway, come shop at the fastest growing show in Ohio, live and in person at the Metroplex in Girard, Ohio. And today's guest is a very special one, a guy who, as we just had a conversation off recording, this is only his third podcast ever, a huge, huge platform for him. As you guys know, I'm a big fan of Deathmatch Yonder. The guys and gals who are working there are absolutely giving it 100%. They are a brand new promotion that just started in 2021. Of course, given to us through the lenses, of IWTV. And of course, a man who was a part of the historic main event of the very first Deathmatch Done Under show on IWTV. The man who says he goes by nobody, but he is somebody to me. Of course, I'm talking about Callum Butcher. How are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing very good, very good. Finally get this one done. Thank you very much.
I know. And for those of you who are wondering to get this, I had tweeted out to Callan that I wanted to bring him on this show. I was adamant that I was going to bring him on because I felt he needed this platform. All of the Deathmatch Under guys need this platform because more ears to the world of deathmatch wrestling, the better. And especially considering what you guys are doing, bringing a deathmatch scene to a country that really hasn't seen much of it in its history. You guys are really waving that flag from a whole nother continent during a time where there's not a lot of traveling here and there, and due to the COVID era that we are living in. You guys are really bringing out some of the best and brightest in Australian wrestling and deathmatch wrestling and heavyweight wrestling. So, of course, I want my listeners to really know the Callum Butcher. Of course, many people who are listening to this probably have never even heard of you before, of course, being, yes, you are a part of Deathmatch Under, but who is Callum Butcher? Give me the origin story of sorts.
So Callum Butcher, that's my birth name. I'm not very creative, so I thought like it sounded like a pretty cool name when I was first started training, so why not just go with Callum Butcher? So, yeah, I've been wrestling for about 6 years now, I think. I just wrestled on a lot of small independents in Victoria, Australia. When COVID happened, I kind of just took a step back and looked at everything that I'd done up until this point, and I was like, I go to all these shows and I put on matches. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're shit, but I'm not getting anywhere. Like, I felt like I'd already plateaued when I was, you know, 6 years in. I felt like I'd plateaued. And then, yeah, I started talking to Joel. Because when he did the Casanova Valentine deathmatch, when he announced that, I sent him a message straight away. I'm like, look, if there's anything that you can do, that I can do to help out for this show, I'd love to. And then, yeah, we started talking because he didn't realize that I like death matches. And he's like, you're into this kind of thing? And I was 100%. I'd been in love with death matches since 2016, 2017. I've been obsessed with it. And Australia is, yeah, like you said, it's not really a country that's had death matches. Like, every now and then there would be a death match, but every time that it would happen, people would be like, I don't know if you should be doing that. But yeah, we finally managed to get the one done with Cass. And then that same night, me and my former tag partner, Sicko Smacks, we also did the death match with Casanova Valentine. And then, yeah, the ball's been rolling from there. This is kind of a reboot of my wrestling career almost. That's why I'm doing the nobody.
Yeah, I absolutely get that. And of course, yes, a lot of the credit for guys like yourself, Joel Bateman, and of course the first deathmatch done under shows really were thanks to the fantastic, crazy, sadistic mind that is Casanova Valentine, who gave a lot of you opportunities. I know he gave Joel an opportunity, he gave you and your former tag partner, he gave Damian Rivers opportunities. How much of your deathmatch experience do you credit Casanova Valentine then?
Well, he was my first deathmatch. Like, I'd done a hardcore match a couple years back at one of the shows that I was on, and we used like barbed wire and thumbtacks and stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the Casanova Valentine was my first deathmatch, and he gave me a lot of advice. Because credit to him, like, he had no idea who I was. He had no idea who Jeremy was, or Sicko Smacks was. But yeah, he had his match with Joel, walked down the street, and then an hour later he was doing a second death match. And yeah, after that, we've been in contact ever since. Like, I've got the Taipei death match coming up tomorrow for us at the Burden of Experience show, which will be on IWTV eventually.
Yes. And
I know that Cass has done a fair amount of Taipei death matches, so I sent him a message. I'm like, hey man, if you've got any advice, I'd love to hear it. And then yeah, he sent me two or three minute videos just explaining all of his ideas behind Taipei and how to make them better. So I really appreciate that, man. He's done a lot more for me than I think he even realizes.
Yeah. And Casanova, as I've always pointed out, he really is one of the smarter minds in deathmatch wrestling. He himself has been improving as well this 2021.
Yeah.
And he always puts you guys over whenever Deathmatch Down Under comes on. And I think that really is a testament to the kind of guy he is to give you that opportunity. Of course, though, really your big stamp on the IWTV radar was your historic first ever main event of Deathmatch Under the 100 Light Tubes Deathmatch with Damian Rivers. I want you to take me through that night for you. How were you feeling? How were you handling the fact that you were the last ones to make the walk to the ring and have that incredible light tube deathmatch?
Well, I was real nervous because there are a lot of names on that card that, if you know Australian wrestling, if you know Victorian wrestling, like, they're really big names, like Caveman Ugg, Jake Andrew Arthur, people like that. And then there was myself and Damien, we'd been wrestling at the same companies that didn't really get much attention. So I was like, the light tubes are going to suck, but what would suck more is if I walk out to crickets. I was real worried about that. I was worried about, like, nobody would know who we are or give a shit about the match. And then, yeah, I was just waiting in the back. Like, that's the only thing that was going through my head. It wasn't like, I'm going to get cut up. It was, nobody's going to know who we are. Nobody's going to care. And then, yeah, as soon as Damien walked out, I was standing behind the curtain. I heard the reaction that he got. And I'm like, oh, maybe we have something here. And then I walked out. And I got probably the biggest reaction I've ever gotten in front of by far the biggest crowd I've ever wrestled in front of, because we had 250 people at that show. My biggest crowd before that was probably like 60.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, I walked out in front of that crowd and I got that big reaction. And I was ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, I watched that match and – from here in America, we don't have big crowds, definitely due to COVID still. We have had shows where there's crowd, but it's not like a real substantial crowd. And I remember the first Deathmatch Under show live tweeting, and everyone's like, there's a crowd here. Like, they're really into it. And especially the main event, a lot of people are like, this crowd is really behind it. So I think it was a testament to both just the build up to that match, which I will get into in a second, and also just the work effort the two of you put in.
Yeah.
I will say this, going back to what I said about the build up, you and Damien really put in a lot of effort to get that match over, because you've seen 100 light tube death matches before in the States, in Japan, but yours made it different, where the story really felt like something, like that was your second death match.
Yeah.
And of course, the whole story was, for those who didn't see it, was Danny Rivers had been the guy who had been waving the deathmatch flag. You were the guy who was trying to get into deathmatch, and Danny was questioning whether or not you're really about this life. I think it's safe to say, though, after that match, after the hell he put you through, you're really about this. And I think after that match, what was your feeling? What were you feeling? I know the saran wrap must have hurt. The light tubes must have hurt. That canvas was riddled in blood and glass. What were you feeling when everything was said and done?
Because I did that promo after the match, and like I was almost crying there, to be completely honest. Like, that reaction from the crowd, like, it was everything we could have hoped it would have been. So I got to the back, and like, even when the adrenaline wore off, like, I was in pain, but I didn't care. I was over the moon at what we'd been able to do, and that, like, yeah, because it was my second death match ever, and I feel like it was probably the best match that I've ever had.
Yeah, I would. I mean, for me, that was my first time seeing you. And I was really impressed. I mean, like, I had, especially I think with Deathmatch Under, something that really stands out to me is those pre-match and post-match promos where you have the New Japan like background, which I think is wonderful. And I love it because of sports style, which to deathmatch wrestling, you don't see that a lot, if ever. And you got that. And I loved the pre-match thing you guys did where it was heated. That room, you could feel the tension. You could cut it with a knife, how amazingly tense it was. And you could tell, like, you brought that intensity into that match. So, from someone who's watched a ton of death matches in his life, to see a main event of two guys who I had never really heard of, and becoming a fan of both of you, really is a testament to what you were able to bring. Of course, though, we can't talk about that match without talking about your next big death match, of course, the Sandcastle show, where you teamed up with someone who you considered a mentor in Vixen. And it was a boards death match, a bring your own boards death match.
Yeah.
And against Guido and I believe, I'm trying to remember the other guy, York, big dude. And you took fish hooks in that match. What was the thought process behind that?
Actually, safety pins.
So safety pins?
Yeah, the board that I brought out was riddled with safety pins. You can see it when I do the uranagi to York.
Yes, I remember the safety pins, but then you took the fish hooks to the mouth as well.
Yeah. that sucked. That like yeah, he gave me it and I wasn't sure if it had happened, and then I felt in my mouth and it was already closed over, like the pin was already closed, locked in. And while I was feeling that, I'm like, oh my god, that is through my mouth. Then he just jumps on top of the rope and gussets me in the head.
Oh my god. So yeah, I mean, Vixen is someone who many people as well are starting to discover, like a lot of the roster with Death Matter Under, especially when you're bringing a whole new audience with IWTV to the world of Australian deathmatch wrestling, who may or may not have heard of you. And that match, that Uranagi to York was massive because he's a big dude. That is a big dude. You can't like wiggle your way around doing a Uranagi and a man of his stature. But tagging with Vixen, what did that mean to you? Of course, you considering her a mentor in the deathmatch game.
That was incredible because I know it was originally supposed to be Michael Weaver.
Yes.
And then, we had a snap lockdown. Victoria had a snap lockdown.
Yes, it did.
And we had to try and find somebody else to do the spot. And Vixen was injured. So she wasn't able to do an Outcome the Wolves. And then because we had to push it back a month, Vixen had time to recover. Vixen was ready to go. We thought, who better to use as my surprise partner than Vixen? And then, yeah, as soon as like her music hit and she came out, I was trying not to mark out myself because as far as deathmatch goes, like Damien has been flying the flag for like 4 or 5 years now, but really in the past 20 years, it has been Vixen along with Mad Dog, Crackerjack, yes, and even Joel. So, and like Vixen's been on like 16 tours of Japan or something like that.
Wow.
So having that experience with me and like giving me feedback and stuff, it was incredible.
Yeah, and of course the big moment for you in that match was, of course, you pinned Guido, the UGWA Ultra Violent Champion, of course, who is now not just a part-time resident, he is a full-time resident of Australia, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
As many people are, yeah, he lives here or lives there, I should say. Yeah. And of course, you pinned him, and so you have a stake at the claim to the UGWA Ultra Violent Championship, of course. That is a belt. I see you have your eye on it. And of course, we were talking before. You have a big match coming up during the 2-night heavyweight title tournament. If you want to give our listeners a little sneak peek per se at a potential match with Guido there.
Yeah. So at night one, it got announced last night. There is the 6-and-out death match, which is our version of a home run derby death.
Ah, okay. I was wondering what that was like. So I think that explains a lot.
I mean, yeah, over here, cricket is
yes,
a lot more popular than baseball. So it'd be a lot more cricket bats wrapped in barbed wire and gusset plates.
That just does not sound comfortable.
It's going to be absolutely disgusting. And then, yeah, so that's myself, Mad Dog, and Vixen, which is a dream team of mine. It's going to be very violent against Damien Rivers, York, and Guido. And then, yeah, that's night one. The next night, it is Guido and myself one-on-one for the UGWA Total Violence Championship in a San Jose Glass Crush death match.
Knowing, of course, Alex Clone is a friend of this show, a guy who I consider a friend. He just had his GCW Ultra Violent title match with Lucky 13, a double crush, glass crush death match. I can only imagine what you and Guido have in mind for the viewers, not just in Australia, but the ones who are going to be tuning in on IWTV. When they see that is going to be pure madness to the max, as I'll put it. So
I mean, I have a rough idea of the implements of destruction that will be in the match, because the way it was explained to me is San Jose is somewhere in between Silicon Valley and the Californian desert.
Yes,
so there will be piles of cactus
Yes.
piles of circuit boards, and then the glass crush comes in, so there's going to be like four panes of glass as well. So that's going to be very violent, and I'm like coming off a very violent death match the first night. Going into that, I'm going to be an absolute mess, and my partner is going to hate me after
It's always the loved ones who are like, why do you do what you do? And you're just like, it's for the love of this, you know?
Yeah, like
And
my parents, when I was wrestling on the smaller shows and I wasn't doing death matches and I wasn't bleeding every month,
yeah.
they came to pretty much every show. As soon as DMDU started up, and like that's the main show that I'm on now, and I'm in a death match every single night. My mom doesn't like blood and my dad doesn't like hardcore wrestling, so they're just like, we'll sit this one out.
Yeah, it's funny, the parents, they love when you're just doing the kind of cool stuff and all that, but when you start getting violent, they're just like, they don't want any part of it. And so I'm gonna segue, I'm gonna peer into your mind a little bit about the outside Australia world of deathmatch wrestling here. Who were guys that got you into deathmatch wrestling and why?
So I got into deathmatch a lot later than a lot of the other people that I know. Because I'd always heard about it. I always knew that I would like it because I always liked ECW and like the hardcore stuff. I never watched back the old ECW stuff until I went to Japan in, I think it was 2017. It was probably about then. It was when New Japan went back to the Budokan in the G1 for the first time.
Yes.
Because, yeah, me and a couple friends, we went to Japan, and then, yeah, the next night after we landed, there was New Japan at the Budokan. We went to that, and it was like the main event was Tanahashi and Okada, which really cool to see. We got back to the hotel, and I was like, that was cool, but I want to see more of the local wrestling. And mainly I wanted to go to Korakuen because Korakuen is the dream venue for me.
Yes.
So we looked online, and Big Japan was at Korakuen like the next night. So we said, fuck it, let's go to that show. And yeah, we were like third row in front of the hard cam
Oh,
at
wow.
Korakuen, and they were doing like their tag death match tournament
Oh,
or
okay.
whatever.
Yes.
Yeah. And yeah, I seen things like Abdullah Kobayashi biting through light tubes, and I'm like, I'm gonna do that one day. And then I did it and it sucked. But yeah, like that entire show, because there was like the heavyweight wrestling and then there was the three main event death matches, and we're standing out the front in front of like the TGI Fridays at Tokyo Dome. And I said to my friend, I was like, one day I'm going to be doing this stuff. I'm going to build up my name and I'm going to do a death match in Korakuen. So that's my end goal, is to do a death match in Korakuen. It's not like WrestleMania or anything. That's my dream. And then, yeah, I got back to Australia and I just started ingesting all the deathmatch I can. Like Danny Havoc was somebody that I paid close attention to. He's still got my favorite deathmatch of all time.
And what
It's
is that?
a real like obscure deathmatch. It was the first round of Tournament Death 14.
Okay.
In 2015, it was him and Ricky Shane Page.
Yes, I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, and I don't know why, but that's just like my favorite death match of all time. It's just like, because it was Ricky's first TOD, I'm pretty sure, and
Yes, I
like just
believe
the,
you're right.
yeah, like the spots that they did in it, like they rolled to the outside, Danny put a light tube in Ricky's mouth and ran him into the ring post. I was like, that's fucking awesome. Then yeah, like the choke slam to the outside onto the salt and barbed wire, and then yeah, Danny wins that match, and then he rolls over and you just see the blood streaming out of his temple. It was disgusting, but I love that match so much.
Wow, yeah. So going off of that, yeah, I think Corgan, yes, it may be every wrestler's dream. Everyone wants to wrestle there, but a deathmatch show in Corgan just feels different. It feels
Yeah.
incredibly different from the norm you see it at Corgan Hall. So who are some guys when hopefully borders open up, which I'm hoping soon, trying to be optimistic here. Who are guys that you want to have a death match with?
So Japan or all over?
Anywhere. The globe.
Anywhere. I think the big money match for me, just I'm a massive fan of theirs, is Atticus Kogar. I think that he would be one of the best deathmatch wrestlers on the planet at the moment. I remember we were doing the spring break watch party at the Cheeky Pint.
I commented on the Instagram and I was I was jealous of you guys on that one.
Yeah, and like everybody was talking and have a good time, but as soon as Atticus and Masada came on, I sat in my corner and I didn't talk to anyone because I was just ingesting all of it. But yeah, like Atticus, Ricky, dream matches like Takeda and Jun Kasai and Segura and stuff like that. Like I just want to wrestle everyone that I can before my body gives up.
That is what they all say. You just want to wrestle till the brakes fall off. And you are the first one I will say ever. I mean, I've talked to Joel. I've talked to him about dream matches. He's on the Alex Colon train. So that gets my attention, but Atticus Kogar, I should say, everyone likes to botch that up. Atticus Kogar this is the first time I've heard him as a dream match. That is a that's cementing his legacy as a guy who he is a bona fide deathmatch wrestler. He is a guy who, as he has told the media before, he is a wrestler who likes to do deathmatch.
Yeah.
That would be one that would really entice me. It would be you versus Atticus. That is one I think could do wonders, not just for you, but for Atticus to be a world travel guy. So if Atticus is listening, if somehow, some way the 440 guys listen to this podcast, Callum Butcher versus Atticus Kogar has my money and my attention.
I mean, at the end of An Outcome the Wolves, I said in my promo that it's still fuck Ohio here.
Yes, I remember that.
Look, I'm a bit of a fan of the 440. That was just me trying to call them out because I want that fucking match. So Atticus, if you're listening, you know where to find me on Twitter.
Exactly, I agree. Of course, for those of you who are listening, of course, I have nobody at Callum Butcher. Of course, though, you really have a lot coming up your way. Of course, with the UGWA title shot, you're going to, of course, with that 6-and-up death match. But who in Australia do you believe is like the next wave, excluding yourself? You're like now like the present, but who are like the next wave of guys who want to do deathmatch wrestling in Australia now?
So the show is coming out on Monday and it's currently Saturday. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see it real soon, but Joel Bateman has a match with somebody answering his opening open challenge, Atlas Whitaker, who was on
Sandcastles. That's what I'm really excited for. I know everyone is like, because I know that everyone was looking forward to the no rope barbed wire, but I'm like, guys, I have faith in Joel, so that light tube match will be something else.
That no rope barbed wire match, it's still going to happen. It'll happen down the line, and just couldn't happen this time. But Atlas, he's somebody in the scene who, like, when I was first starting out training, he was just getting onto shows, and like I've always loved watching him work. And then when Joel was like, Atlas has just messaged me about this open challenge, I messaged him straight away. I'm like, dude, do this. It is going to be the best experience of your life. And then I was like standing behind the curtain watching the match, and when it was over, a little bit of a spoiler, they got like a standing ovation. And I've looked up to Atlas for a very long time, and I was just a ball of emotion.
That's the show that is, for those, I know this will come out in a few weeks, But this is a show we're talking about that is called Not Here to Fuck with Spiders, which I love that name. Everyone's like, not here to fornicate. I'm like, it's not here to fuck with spiders, guys. Okay. Yeah,
yeah. And I want to say it in the Australian accent. It's not here to fuck spiders.
Oh my God. That's even better. But so of course, yes, Joel Bateman versus Alice Whitaker is happening in that show, but your match, which, by the way, shout out to the Interspecies Wrestling guys for lending a hand in the creative juices for this one. It is a blocks death match with yourself. And I think Guido's also in that. I believe Damian Rivers is also in that. A couple of guys are in that.
So it was originally supposed to be myself, Michael Weaver, and Mad Dog with Guido, York, and young Mike Chaos, who's been wrestling in the local scene around here, and
okay,
gave him a shot. My old tag team with Sicko Smacks, he was like the third member, Mike Chaos. So I've always had a hand with him, trying to like help him improve. But unfortunately, as you'll see, like Mad Dog wasn't able to make it to that, so we had a last minute replacement from somebody who's been helping out at all of the DMDU shows. Decided to give him a shot. He's Zuzu,
the muscle
clown.
Oh my god,
dude is absolutely shredded and comes out with the clown paint on and stuff, and he's insane. There's one thing in that match that I was legitimately worried that he had suffered a very serious injury, but
oh my goodness,
I message him the next day and he's like, I'm fine, I can do it again. So if you, once this comes out, if you go back and watch Spiders, the power bomb from the top rope, that's what I'm gonna
say.
Yeah, it's real gross. Yeah, that match was utter chaos because we didn't know what we were gonna have out there. Like, as people were coming in, they were bringing some of the stuff backstage for us. The other stuff was ringside. We didn't really have a lot of chance to like make any plans for anything. So it's a bit chaotic, but also like the people in the crowd, they had a lot of fun with the chaos.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you see blocks, Legos, whatever you want to call them, like people get kind of like a kick out because I've experienced this as a kid. Everyone's probably experienced this as a kid, stepping on blocks. It is like the worst pain in the world for like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Like it's not that long, but it's just like you feel it and then you add on more. It's like insult to injury. So that I'm very excited for that match as well. Of course, Interspecies Wrestling lending a hand in the creative juices, who, if you know Interspecies Wrestling, they are actually funding the 1 million blocks match. I know they're right now still in the process of that. They're still taking donations as of when this episode will drop. So DMDU just helping give us a preview of what insane stuff they're going to do. So that is a really great one. Of course, for those of you who haven't watched Deathmatch Genre on IWTV, I highly recommend them. They are a fun company. Of course, as you mentioned in May, the heavyweight tournament, the 2-day heavyweight tournament, which has a lot of incredible names on it.
Yeah, if you're a fan of Australian wrestling, that not only does it have some of the best heavyweights in Australia, but it also has some of the people that are like the most underrated and deserve eyes on them. I think the announcement will be going out like today or just went out that we've got a guy named Jake Taylor. He's Farley Dojo trained. He's and Dojo. Like he's gonna go to war in that one. I'm really looking forward to that. There's people like Edward Dusk, who's just starting to make his name in Australian wrestling.
I looked him up. I was interested in him.
And then we've got people like Charlie Evans and Punch Drunk Istria. They're very big names around the scene. So, and then we got Candy Lee from New Zealand.
Candy Lee, I know. I saw that. I was like, you got Candy Lee to take a flight from New Zealand to Australia. God damn, Candy Lee. Shout out to Candy Lee, by the way. She's awesome.
Yeah, so the entire tournament is going to be a banger, and then you've got the 6-and-out death match, and then you've got myself and Guido, and there's another match that's going to be announced tomorrow, from what I understand, that's going to be another absolute banger.
Well, bangers abroad and all around the world. So here's a question that I've had, and someone asked me about this for the upcoming months. And many people have been wondering when Deathmatch Genre will get its own Deathmatch style. Yes, you have the UGWA Ultra Violent title in Australia. Guido is very somewhat happy to defend that belt when he can. But will Deathmatch Genre have a heavyweight title? And the follow-up question will be, is July the time when that tournament's going to happen? Because many people are wondering if there will be a deathmatch tournament in Deathmatch Down Under.
So it's been hinted at a lot that there will be some sort of deathmatch title with DMDU. It's definitely bound to happen. I'd say probably not July. Keep an eye out around maybe August for some news on that.
So, okay. Well, those of you listening who are curious, I would say, yeah, August sounds like a good time. I mean, it's the summer, not just here in the United States, but around the world is always the prime time season of deathmatch tournaments, as you see. So August would be a perfect time to potentially unveil the deathmatch, the DMDU deathmatch title, which I think would be fantastic. It's the title that is needed there. It's especially it's Deathmatch Under. It's in the name, of course. But if you were in that tournament, would you be wanting in that tournament for that title?
Absolutely, I'd be wanting in that tournament. I've been saying from the start that I might be a nobody, but I'm trying to become the best deathmatch wrestler in Australia. And getting that, winning that tournament, if it and when it happens, that would cement myself as one of the best deathmatch wrestlers in Australia. And hopefully, after May, I'll get that UGWA Total Violence Championship and I can defend that during the tournament. I don't give a fuck. I want in that tournament.
Well, I know the powers that be are will probably be listening to this episode. So, if we can manifest that dream of getting a deathmatch tournament and of course having you win the UGWA Ultraviolent title and defending it as well, which I believe if you're having a belt, a deathmatch belt in a deathmatch tournament, you're defending it. You are defending it. So, hopefully that does happen come August. And I think that deathmatch tournament could have a lot of potential. I mean, Deathmatch Under has already through on IWTV already through three shows has really shown the potential to bring out some of the best and brightest names in deathmatch wrestling. You're included in that list, of course, Damian Rivers, Joel Bateman, Charlie Evans as well, who had an incredible, absolutely incredible deathmatch with Joel Bateman. I cannot stress enough how brilliant that match was.
Chevs took an absolute beating in that match. I know that the next day I went to the hotel that they were staying at because I was picking up Dunkzilla Davis for a training seminar,
Oh, awesome.
and I was waiting out the front, and Chevs walked past me and she's like, "Oh my God, how are you? How's your face from the fish hooks?" I'm like, "I'm fine. How are you? You look like you've been in a car accident." And they're like, "Oh, I'm fine. I'm just going to get some breakfast." And then walk down the street, just cuts all over.
Just to kind of put this out there to the world, not just Australia, but in the world, Charlie Evans is one of the baddest people on the planet. I do not care who your top deathmatch wrestlers are in any country. I have been meaning to say this on my podcast for a while now. Charlie Evans, if you can book her for a deathmatch, you can do so. You will not be disappointed because she is one of the
Absolutely.
baddest people on the planet. And if you need proof, we'll just watch that match with Joel Bateman.
I'd say it's probably the best match we've had on any of our shows. And yeah, Chev is a world, Charlie Evans is a world-class talent and deserves the world. Absolute sweetheart of a person.
Yeah, that's what I hear. And I mean, she is in the heavyweight tournament, so of course many eyes are going to be on her as well through that tournament. But of course, Callan, we are talking about you, of course. I want you to kind of lay out the game plan for the rest of 2021. What do you want the world to see in Callum Butcher?
Like I said, I want to become the best deathmatch wrestler in this country. And I know, like, I started it off with the loss, but I've been picking up wins. I'm at the end of May, I am flying in a state to wrestle a Four Corners of Hell deathmatch for another promotion,
Oh, wow.
Suplex Pro Wrestling. Joel Bateman just won the explicit championship.
Oh, yes, you did.
Yeah. One of their younger guys wants to do death matches, and they got in touch with me. And we're doing, yeah, Four Corners of Pain, Four Corners of Hell, I think. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But I just want to do death matches everywhere around this country. And then as soon as international flights open up, I want to go to Japan. I want to go to Mexico. I want to go to the States. I want to go to the UK. I want to go everywhere I can and bleed everywhere that I can, because I believe that deathmatch wrestling is one of the most beautiful art forms on this planet. And I believe that I've kind of got something with this, and I think I can make my name out of this, and I think that I can improve deathmatch wrestling as a whole.
Fantastic answer. I absolutely love that answer. I mean, you don't hear the ambition of a lot of guys anymore, like being like, I want to go to every country and bleed. You're in on this. You are a part of this deathmatch life, a part of the deathmatch family, as some people want to say. Of course, a question I like to ask a lot of my guests is, what would you tell yourself, like your first year, Callum Butcher, to the 6 year, like, or what would you tell your 6 year self versus your 1 year self? Let's put it in that sense.
So, if I could talk to my first year in training, I would say stop listening to everybody and their opinions, because you've got good ideas and you can make something out of it. Yeah, I wasted like the first 6 years of my career just listening to other people doing shit. And also, I would tell my first year, keep doing those really cool moves that you're doing, because in 6 years, you'll look back and be like, I wish I was still doing them.
Absolutely awesome, Callan. Of course, with this podcast, yes, I'm located in the United States. Yes, I got my eyes and ears on the American deathmatch scene, but Deathmatch on Under has really turned heads, including myself, for what they are capable of, and especially with that partnership with IWTV. That is just doing you wonders, getting you more eyes, more ears on the world of deathmatch wrestling. Of course, I want to thank you again for being on this show. This really was a fantastic conversation with you, Cal, and really getting to see what you're made of, especially for someone who has not done a lot of deathmatches, seeing your perspective on the world. I love your ambition. And to end this, I want to give you the time, the platform to just, if you have anything to plug, if you have anything to tell us, now is the time. The floor is yours, my friend.
Yeah. Oh, before I get to that, I just want to personally say thank you to you, because yeah, like you reaching out on Twitter and like putting over Deathmatch Down Under, it means the world to us. Like everybody from all over the world that watches us, it for me, having like wrestled only in front of like 60 people is my highest crowd. Usually it was like 40 people. It's absolutely incredible to see how much everybody around the world is just enjoying our product, because that's the main thing. Like, the fans make wrestling. If there wasn't any fans, there wouldn't be any wrestling. So for yourself and for everybody else, thank you so much. It means the world to us.
Absolutely.
I don't have it yet. I'm looking again, one of those, the Deathmatch Worldwide stores opened up. So follow on my Twitter, Callum Butcher PW, for that. I do have a merch store. It is an Australian merch store, so I don't know what shipping is like outside.
Oh,
But
yeah.
yeah, if you want to support, go to wrestlermerch.com, and then I'm in there. You can find me. I think it's / Callum Butcher. You can find me.
Okay.
Yeah, on Instagram, Callum Butcher, Facebook, Callum Butcher Pro Wrestler. You can follow along with everything I'm doing. Deathmatch Down Under. You can find Deathmatch Down Under on all the social medias. They've got their own merchandise store on their website. Deathmatch Down Under has completely changed my life. So I will be flying the Deathmatch Down Under flag for the rest of my life. And yeah, they just keep supporting pro wrestling, because like, I know that we've kind of struck lightning in a bottle down here, where we're able to get live crowds where a lot of other places aren't able to get live crowds, and you have to run warehouse shows. But things will get better and the world will come back, and it's everybody who's supporting pro wrestling right now that's getting us all through it, and we're able to give back by putting on the entertaining shows that we're trying to put on.
Well, couldn't have said it any better. Of course, for those of you who are listening, I had this fantastic conversation with Callum Butcher. I am planning on having more of the fantastic guys and gals of Deathmatch Under. Callum is not going to be the only one. So, of course, you're going to hear from a lot of the people who have made Deathmatch Under tick. Of course, Callum, thank you again for this amazing opportunity to not just give my listeners another episode of Your Dose of Death, but of course to give my listeners a whole new perception of deathmatch wrestling from someone who was not been in this for long, but has an incredible ambition like yourself. So that being said, guys, thank you for listening to this episode of Your Dose of Death. From Callum Butcher to Lauren Rosenberg, we are out. Thank you guys again.
This has been a Count Out podcast.
This summer's must-read mystery is Meredith Adamo's Not Like Other Girls. A girl's search for her missing classmate digs up dangerous secrets in this unputdownable feminist thriller, perfect for fans of Veronica Mars and A Good Girl's Guide to Murder.